Jazz.
You must know that the Yamadutas, the messengers of Yamaraj, had just made a classical mistake which they have repeated again and again. I don't know if these were the same Yamadutas, but sometimes the Yamadutas take someone who's engaged in the practices of Krishna consciousness to Yamaraj, and Yamaraj is always very frustrated that his servants don't understand that the devotees have a very special position and they don't have to see Yamaraj in the hellish planets. So this time in the Bhagavatam, he explains to his servants why someone who chants Hare Krishna, although he might have committed sinful activities in the past before chanting, cannot be punished by the god of death. He's in a different category. Here's the verse. One who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Purport. One may very easily practice chanting and hearing the holy name of the Lord and thus become ecstatic in spiritual life. Padma Purana states, Nama parada yuktanam namanyeva harantyakam avishranti prayuktani tanyevata karanicha. Even if one chants the Hare Krishna mantra, Maha mantra, offensively, one can avoid offenses by continuously chanting without deviation. One who becomes accustomed to this practice will always remain in pure transcendental position, untouchable by sinful reactions. Shukadev Goswami especially requested King Parikshit to note this fact very carefully. There is no profit, however, in executing the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. By performing such activities, one may go to the higher planetary systems, but as stated in Bhagavad Gita, Chine Punya Martya Lokam Vishanti, when the period of one's enjoyment in the heavenly planets is terminated, because of the limited extent of the results of one's pious activities, one must return to earth. Thus there is no use in endeavoring to travel up and down in the universe. It is better to chant the holy name of the Lord, so that one may become fully purified and eligible to return home back to Godhead. That is the aim of life, and that is the perfection of life. So please don't travel up and down in the material universe, Rajamani. Better to chant. How nice Prabhupada says, what to say? Yes, this makes sense. Namaṁ Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimade Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pacharine Vesesa Sunyavadi Skatyade Satarine Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Yadvaita Garadhara Vasadi Go Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare,
Hare.
Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So one who constantly hears and chants the holy name of the Lord and hears and chants also about his activities can very easily attain the platform of pure devotional service, which can cleanse the dirt from one's heart. One cannot achieve such purification merely by observing vows and performing Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Yesterday we had a very interesting insight into it. After the Abhishek, I met one of the dental assistants of Lalita Priya. She had helped with the translation and the dental activities which are to be done when a patient is treated in the clinic, and she came to me after she had performed the Abhishek, where she had bathed the Lord and chanted, and she said, I must tell you something. I hope you have time. And I really didn't have time, but I said, of course. And she said, when I came into the temple, I somehow had a feeling that I'm very impure, that I have so many desires in my heart, and I'm just very unclean person. I never had such feeling. And you know, when you saw the person, she has a high self-esteem. She's not someone who is incapable to do things. So then I just chanted and I bathed the Lord. And as I was bathing the Lord, I felt that all my uncleanliness, all my my being so full of desires went away. And I felt very clean. And she was struggling, you know, to express the experience she had. It was a very unusual experience for her. Very difficult to give it a name or to describe it. And I was thinking, it's a well-studied person. She's also now in the university and studies. She felt almost a little embarrassed to talk about it, because it was something she just never thought about, to be clean in the heart. What is that? How to do that? It was an entirely new concept. But by the mercy of Gonitai on the especially on the Kor Punim day, she just got this realization. And I believe she's changed for life. She told me, I know I have to now do something with this experience. And I suggested, why not chant Hare Krishna regularly? This might be a good idea. Oh yeah, thank you for thinking of this. They are newcomers. It's, for us, it is easy to understand, but for them, these are all very, very new areas of thought. So here it says the same thing, that by chanting about Lord Krishna's holy name and his activities, the soul is cleansed and lifted to the platform, the spiritual platform of devotional service. And Srila Prabhupada, he makes it clear that we all note this fact very carefully. You cannot attain this immediate result to become purified in the heart and to be lifted on the spiritual platform by any other processes. But what if we make offenses? I mean, then how do we counteract the offenses which steal this result from us? And Prabhupada quotes this verse. He says, even if you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra offensively, you really don't need another process, like the process of atonement or doing something to become free from the offenses. You should just constantly chant. And by this constantly chanting, you will even overcome the obstacles to the practice of chanting. So, therefore, you do not need any other Vedic ritualistic ceremonies to attain your own personal perfection in Krishna consciousness. I'm now, it's very, I feel very, very encouraged to be in your presence. I will now start my second seminar. Oh no, not another heavy seminar. This will be a little easier, but I have somehow, by Krishna's mercy, I have so many seminars. I have two other seminars with me. I could talk for a whole year. I have so much material. But don't worry, it will be over tomorrow. Worry in the sense that we also have to digest. You know, we can't just always boom, 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 hear concentrated spiritual subject matter. We have to sit down and digest everything. For this, by the way, taking notes is very good, because with your notes you can review again the seminars and the new points and go over it. But please, there's something which you must know about taking notes. Sometimes when we take notes, we think, oh, now I have it somehow. The subject is with me. But the subject only becomes your own or something which you own when you review your notes. And there is a technique of reviewing the notes which I didn't believe before I practiced it. You have to do it before 48 hours. Then the whole, all the points which you have heard, the new points, somehow make it into an area of our memory which is called the, in Deutsch, das Langzeitgedächtnis. The long-term memory. See, we have two types of memories, if you are interested to know. One is the short-term memory. Are there words for this in Croatian? Just very super perfect words. What? Yeah, that sounds correct. Yeah, I mean that. Yes, I can recognize it from the sound. Many things which you, for instance, when you read, they go in the short-term memory, or many things which you experience go in the short-term memory. That means after some time, these things are no longer with you. And there is a reason why this is so. I mean, if all the information which we see, which we hear, which we smell, which we, what else, taste, you know, stays with us, we go crazy with information. Who can digest this? But there is also a long-term memory. This long-term memory refers in Vedic psychology to sankskara, deep impressions, which can be so deep that you go, that you take them in another life also. They're still with you in some ways. They're stored in the deepest area of the long-term memory, that is the subconsciousness. So, and taking notes and reviewing them, that's very important. I also didn't know it. I was also a crazy note taker, also to keep me busy in boring lectures, you know, then I could write my own things also and so on. But there are also sometimes new points, and you have to write them down, and then you review them before 48 hours. I thought, oh no, this is another new age thing which may be correct or may not be correct. But after doing it, I found out this is, it stays. I can remember it. It's mystical. Reviewing is very important, or going over it, and that means also that is also a function of digestion. Huh? I am of the opinion, if every one of you would have properly digested what he or she has heard already, you would be a Cheshti Bhakta. This is my personal opinion, but I have maybe it's not such a philosophically correct opinion, but with it, I just mean to say you have so much benefit. I don't know if you become a pure devotee by digesting. You do need some time of purification and so on. But yes, digestion is very, very important. Hare Krishna, if you wouldn't digest the meal, it would be of no use for your body. So digestion means manaha. Manaha means reflecting about the subject matter. This is how you digest, by reflecting about what you have heard. Hare Krishna, I want to now go into my subject matter. So my dear devotees, today we start another journey in philosophy. Today we will hear a little bit about a subject which is called the blossoming of the holy name. Blossoming means it opens up the holy name. There's a very, very nice statement in Harinam Chintamani about the Dharma which Vaishnavas accept. Dharma is an essential quality without which you would not, without which an object loses its essential nature. The Dharma, for instance, of water is liquid, and the Dharma of sugar is sweet, and if you would have sugar which is not sweet, it would stop to be sugar, really. No? So, Dharma is that which makes a thing into what it is. It's an essential quality which can never be separated from it. So the Vaishnavas, it says, in this world, accept only one Dharma, one quality, which makes them Vaishnavas, and that's chanting the holy name. This is in Harinam Chintamani. Ateva nama matra vaishnavera dama name prashputita haya rupa guna kama. The holy name is the only dharma accepted by Vaishnavas. From the holy name blossoms the form of Krishna, the qualities of Krishna, and the activities of Krishna. This is in the first chapter of the Harinam Chintamani, text number 30. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in his song collection Sharanagati, has written one song which he calls the glories of the holy name, Sri Nama Mahatmya. It's a beautiful song which you might like to find. This is also quoted in Jaiva Dharma in chapter 25, this song. It's a very important song where he sings about the holy name in a very loving way. He says the holy name is the Popolnyak. Is it Popolnyak? Popolnyak, yeah. The bud of the flower of divine love. Would you like to have the flower of divine love? Wouldn't that be nice? And it is a very abode of astonishing rasas. My dear devotees, all we want is rasas, tastes, happiness, ecstasy, either in the body or in the mind, new concepts, new ideas, new experiences, and the taste which they bring, the rasa it brings. So it says that the holy name is the very abode of amazing rasas. You can get everything in the holy name. Such is the power which the holy name manifests, that when he starts to blossom a little further, it then reveals his own divine form and qualities. You actually see Krishna and experience his loving qualities. And what happens then is that the holy name will steal your heart, abduct your heart. You will no longer be absorbed in material rasas, but you will directly go to the kingdom of God by the power of the holy name. Bhaktivinoda Thakur describes further that the holy name is also active in the spiritual world, in Goloka Vrindavan. But then you don't see the holy name any longer as a combination of syllables like the beginner sees the holy name. No, you will see the holy name as Krishna directly being in front of you. It's not a difference. Here it is something where I must request you to be patient. This you cannot understand at the present moment. Please do not lose your faith because you cannot understand it. It's difficult with the material mind to understand it. But those who have chanted very, very deeply the holy name have experienced how as they chant, they see all of a sudden Krishna. First they don't believe it. What am I seeing? And then they continue, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Then again, from the holy name, they see Krishna and his pastimes, and it's bewildering. What? Is this my imagination going now wild? Maybe I should stop chanting. But then they have so much taste. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu describes this as a slight, you know, when the devotee switches over to pure chanting, he asks the question, what power does this name have? What does he do to me? It's really an amazing encounter all of a sudden with the Lord, and one is both totally overwhelmed as well as it's a total new experience. One is a little confused, as we are confused whenever we meet something new. But this doesn't mean it's a confusion in the material sense, which gives a negative feeling and a feeling that maybe I should stop here. No, there is no doubt in which direction you should further go when you make these real experiences of spiritual life. So it says, when the holy name has taken you to Braj, then he reveals to you his own activities of love. Love dalliance is the word. It means his exchange with his devotees. Then the holy name, listen to this please, gives you your own eternal spiritual body and keeps you right by Krishna's side and completely destroys everything which is left of this material consciousness. In other words, while the devotee is chanting in this body, the holy name will take him to Goloka Vrindavan and reveal Krishna to him, and then also reveal his own form. Do you know that you are not a man and not a woman? You know this. It's an illusion, Vetarane. You are not the body, actually. Think about this. It's amazing. We sit here, we're so accustomed to this, vehicle. But the holy name will show us this is what you are. And we will be extremely ecstatic. Finally, I don't have to be what I'm not. I am. So this is the power of the holy name, which the holy name, when the holy name reveals his glories with great astonishing force in the heart of the devotee. Would you like to experience this one day? Yes, one said yes. The others are not really sure. So it is this which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had delivered and which he wanted to give to the world. This present, which reveals, which means complete God realization and complete self realization, really. This is what he came to deliver. And he did manifest these gifts, or he gave these gifts when? After his return from Gaya, when he had passed by Kanai Natashala, as you saw. I would really request all of you to speak with Madhva Muni and Kishori how they felt Kanai Natashala was. Also Gaurahari, because you may say, oh, this Sachinanda Swami, we cannot believe him. He is always wanting to encourage us, and he will take whatever it takes, even lies and exaggerations, to encourage us. Please ask Madhva Muni and Kishori and Gaurahari about their what they think about Kanai Natashala. You're ready to answer the question. Yes, they are ready to answer the questions. Madhva Muni has even many more photos and so on. After Mahaprabhu had his darshan with Krishna, and Krishna disappeared again, then he thought, he went deeply, he, in his lila, he showed how he entered deeply into this Krishna. I mean, I feel a little hesitant to say, then, after this, he entered deeply in Krishna consciousness. I mean, he's Krishna. Please understand, there's never a time that we can say, oh, before Gaya, Mahaprabhu was this, and after Gaya, he was that. No, no. But he played different leelas, different pastimes, and chose to reveal his inner nature after his return from Gaya. Therefore, the devotees who know that the Lord himself came to distribute total God realization and self-realization, they have a prayer. Please chant this with me. Namo Mahavaranaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaura Tvishe Namaha. O most munificent incarnation. You are Krishna Himself, appearing as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You have assumed the golden color of Srimati Radharani, and you are widely distributing pure love of Krishna. We offer our respectful obeisances unto you. Yes, correct. Why? Because he distributes these greatest treasures, full God realization and full Krishna self realization to everyone. Just it's a love distribution. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, this loving distribution is explained in a very nice way, a way which we have heard already during one of the previous lectures. It says, Sedvare achandale ketan sanchare nama prema mala. What is mala? Garland, yes. Ganti paraye sangsara. Thus Mahaprabhu spread kirtan even among the untouchables. He wove a wreath of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. It means really, he wove a wreath, means it comes from the English word flower wreath. He wove a garland of the holy name and prema with which he garlanded the entire material world. You know, when you have a garland, Lord Chaitanya has garlanded the entire world, you need actually two things. You need flowers, and then I can show you. I have to be very careful because this is the best guy. Oh. You need a thread, something like a little rope, can you see, which keeps it all together. Unless you are a magician, which goes, and then it somehow is also there. So Mahaprabhu, garland with which he garlanded the world was, or is, the holy name. These are the flowers of the holy name, and the string or rope is the prema of Srimati Radharani, the love of Srimati Radharani. How do we know this? Well, we know that he is Krishna who wants to experience the love of Radharani. No? So this is the garland. May I ask you, are you garlanded, Vrajamani? Is this garland with you? Oh, no, you will feel it. When you will feel ecstatic love of Krishna, you know, when you chant Hare Krishna. Krishna Jivani, are you garlanded? He has come to the world to garland the whole world. Is everyone garlanded except for me? You should ask yourself. Where is my garland? I'm supposed to also have my garland. Where is it? And this seminar is for you, that you can get your garland from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You will know, have to know a few things, which we will deliver in this seminar. Is it seminar? Yes, seminar means you talk on one subject and you go deeper and deeper and deeper into it until everyone screams, "Ah, oh, I got it, I understood it." Hare Krishna, please allow me to take this garland. I'm also not really garlanded with the garland, so my critical question is also a question to me. Are you garlanded, Kishori? This is a good question, isn't it? Are we empowered by this garland? It's a very deep subject. First of all, because we have spoken so much about the flowers of the holy name, I want to now talk about Radharani's love. Radharani's love has a certain quality to it. It has many qualities to it. It's very, very difficult for us to understand Srimati Radharani's love. It's so deep. It is so deep that even Lord Govinda is bewildered by this type of love. Have you ever felt that someone loves you? Is this experience with you? We are not so sure, but I'm sorry. These are very private questions, I know. But, you know, for instance, I could give you an example which my mother once told me, which I never forget in relationship to my mother. I really loved my mother. I still love her, but when I was a little boy, mother was everything for me. There was nothing else than mother. And I remember when the Mother Day came, I wanted to express my love. And my Mother Day is, do we have this in Yugoslavia? Then, yeah. So I remember I was thinking very deeply what to do. And then I noticed my mother liked always sweets. Praline. So I decided to buy her the biggest praline thing which I could get. And I was even stealing money for this, because I wanted to express my love. I stole even from my father's money, because I didn't have... In our education, our parents never gave us any money. 5 German marks in a month, that's what I got. Because they said, we will spoil you if we give you so much wealth, then you don't have a real relationship to money, so you will not get anything more. So, anyways, I must confess to you, I stole 30 pennies from the pocket of my... And then I just went in the neighborhood and I collected money. And then on Mother's Day, I bought such a thing of pralines for 10 marks. I still remember this. It was so expensive. And I gave it to my mother. And my mother was overwhelmed. She thought, what are you giving to me? And then, because she is a German mother, a very strong mother, she became very angry. Who sold you this? I know you have no money. Who sold you this? And then, no, mother, it's all right, it's for you. And my mother went with the pralines, she know herself, because she bought pralines sometimes, to the place where it was sold, and she was very heavy. How can you accept money from my little boy who has no money? This is too expensive for him. Take it back, or there will be trouble. And because my parents were so influential, they had to take it back. But then I was very, very disturbed. I could not express my love. And my mother told me about this. Then I went into the garden and I cried and I prayed to God. And then I got the idea to pick flowers for my mother. And I've picked so much flowers. I put them all over the house. Everywhere were flowers. And my mother went, saw this, and she cried because she was so impressed by the love. She was amazed that her son loved her. She didn't think she was loved that much. It was very difficult to clean everything up afterwards, but that was not important for... So I think when we feel love, we are sometimes very surprised. And now imagine... Srimati, I just wanted to give you some idea in which direction to think. But you cannot think or understand that Krishna himself is totally overwhelmed by the love of Srimati Radharani. And it's so deep, and it's always so fresh, and so, so amazing to him, that Krishna is totally spellbound by Srimati Radharani. And he says that the love of Radharani makes him dance. When there is another astonishing mellow in the love, that is when Radharani becomes out of love, angry with Krishna and doesn't receive Krishna any longer, then Krishna, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, does not know what to do. He puts down his crown and his ornaments and he rolls in pain on the ground. And then he goes to Radhakund. He offers puja to Radhakund because he knows this Kund is most dear to Srimati Radharani. It's her own bathing tank. And prays at the banks of Radhakund to again be received by Radharani. Krishna is totally, in other words, he never says, I know Radha, I know Radharani's love for me. He's always freshly overwhelmed, and therefore Krishna's Kaviraj, he says, Radharani's love makes Krishna dance. He's dependent on it. So, we will not be able to talk about Radharani's love in depth. It's unfathomable. It's like an ocean without a ground. It's always new and overwhelming. But there is one particular aspect which we would like to talk about. Because it is this love, this type, this aspect which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu concentrated on. And which he used, this particular aspect of Radharani's love, which he wanted to bring to the conditioned source. In other words, when we speak about Radha's love being the thread of the garland with which Krishna, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu garlanded the world, we will hear of a particular aspect out of this ocean of love, a particular type of love, a particular expression of love. This is explained in Chaitanya Charitamrita. There you will find everything. The tune. Radhika Rabhava Yaiche Udhava Dashane Se Bhava Mata Prabhu Rahe Ratri Dine. Just as Radhika went mad at the sight of Uddhava, so Lord Chaitanya was obsessed day and night with the madness of love in separation. It's very difficult to express this, and please listen very attentively. It's a very high subject which needs our utmost concentration and respect. Where was Krishna when Radhika saw Uddhava and went mad with ecstasy? Where was he at that time? Not entirely, but you are on the right track. Where was he before Dwaraka? He went to Dwaraka. Mathura. Krishna had just left Vrindavan and went to Mathura, and he understood, Radharani cannot, or the gopis cannot tolerate my separation, and therefore he sent a messenger, Uddhava, to send a letter to the gopis, and read the letter, a love letter, to support the gopis and the devotees. And this is when Radha saw with her gopis Uddhava, who resembled so much Krishna. He was had the same bluish complexion. He had ornaments which Krishna wore. And he came on the personal chariot of Krishna. He came in the car of Krishna, so to say. Radha went just mad with ecstatic love and separation. And she chanted one verse, which is really the seed of Chaitanya Bhakti. This verse reads like this. Ayidina dayatra natahe Mathura nata kadava lokshase Hridayam tvat aloka kataram Daita brahm yati kim karomyam. O Lord, whose heart softens at seeing the condition of the unfortunate. O Lord of Mathura, when will I ever see you? My heart is filled with pain from not seeing you, my love, and I am confused. What can I do now? When will I see you again? Where are you? This is expressing the deepest feelings of separation. It's a very moving verse because it is this verse which Radhanath Maharaj discussed with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj at the very end of his his life. Maybe you have heard Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj left. Of course, we all have heard her. In August, is it correct? August left the world. But before that, he called his devotee friend to help him remember Krishna. Is a service which we do to devotees. When a devotee is on his deathbed, we go there. And we don't talk of the things of the world, but we chant and we read from the scriptures and discuss from the scriptures. So for these 6 months, they only talked on this verse. Where are you, Krishna? It is a very deep verse. It is said in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. There you find it. When Mahaprabhu recited this verse, it said, only three people knew the meaning of this verse. It's so deep. Who are these? People is not the right word. But three persons. Srimati Radharani. Then Madhavendra Puri, who quoted this verse, where and when? On his deathbed. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. No one else can know this. And it says, the more Mahaprabhu said, this verse is so wonderful. It's like sandalwood. The more you rub sandalwood, the more fragrant the sandalwood becomes. When you go like this, the whole hall will smell. And then if you go more, the whole of Zagreb will smell if you have enough sandalwood, you know. So this verse is always going, expressing deeper and deeper content, context. And Mahaprabhu was relishing this, like Madhavendra Puri relished it. On this verse, which is expressing the feelings of separations, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur has written a purport. Would you like to hear the purport, to understand it a little bit more and smell the fragrance a little bit more of this verse? It's a little difficult, so you need to really concentrate. Difficult means the English is very academic or really high. He will explain to us why it is this type of love or why this type of love is most relevant. When we hear about loving Krishna, what does this mean for us? And it really means for us who are here in this world, we need to look in the direction of the spiritual world and feel, I'm at the moment separated from Krishna. This is the most realistic type where we can start our relationship with Krishna, to understand, oh, we don't have it and we need it. Correct? So here, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur for you. The feeling of separation from Krishna, in Sanskrit, the transcendental vipralamba, is the only practice by which the spiritual soul can achieve perfection. Now, Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati Thakur will explain this practice, or what is transcendental separation, what does this mean? And he contrasts it with material separation, where maybe a husband will think, my wife is in India on Mayapur Parikrama, I can't bear the separation any longer. No. Material feelings of separation give rise to despondency. Despondency means something like desperation. That reveals our attachment for matter. Whereas the despondency or sad feelings that results from the feelings of separation for Krishna are the best proof of one's desire to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses. The desire to bring pleasure to Krishna's senses, shown by Madhavendra Puri, the great soul who is the root of this movement, is the ideal example to follow for anyone who wishes to serve the Lord. The desire to bring pleasure to Krishna is the ideal example to follow for anyone who wishes to serve the Lord. It is especially worth remarking that Mahaprabhu and his closest followers later adopted this example and made it their standard. If you feel separation from a person of this world, you will just become sad. But when you feel enlivened by this feeling, Krishna, where are you? You will become very enthusiastic. I must do something. Some service I must offer for Krishna. I'm not yet there where I want to be, but by service, I will go there. Where service? Prabhu, where service? Give me some service. I want to do service. I know a very nice Vaishnava who always gets impatient and when there's not enough service, the Vaishnava always gets on everyone's nerves when there is no service. You know, bro, where's my service? Wait a minute. It's coming. So this feeling of is actually blissful. It says even the separation where you feel I want to do something for Krishna. I want to really now is enough separation. I will do something for Krishna. This is very nice. It's very good, and it happens. It's so nice because I don't know how to explain it. It's very difficult to explain, but in the scriptures it's explained like this. When you feel this, oh Krishna, where are you? I must come to you. even in the absence of Krishna, where you don't see the Lord or see His beautiful form and His qualities, what happens just by this feeling, Krishna, who's externally absent, becomes internally present. Can you understand this? Because you think always of Krishna. Yes, He's not there, but He comes into the heart by this feeling. Hare Krishna. So just keep a little bit more your attention. We are almost, soon it will become like you have heard before. This separation is described by Rupa Goswami in a drama, Lalita Madhava. Lalita Madhava describes what happened when Krishna had left Vrindavan. And it describes especially Radharani's feelings. It's very, very beautiful. Please listen to it. Radharani looked at the sky. A crow was flying overhead and was going from Vrindavan to Mathura. All of a sudden, Radharani almost had lost her life from this ecstatic feeling. It was just a most intense love. All of a sudden, she pointed to the crow in the sky. And he said, "Hey, crow," she said, "Hey, crow, come here. Here. Don't you see me? Over here. Are you going to Mathura? I think so. Please hear me. Don't go anywhere else than Mathura. Go directly there. There you will find a king named Mathuranath. When you meet him, pay your obeisances and give him a message. Who's Mathuranath? Krishna, you know everything. I give you now the message. Listen carefully and deliver it faithfully. Do you understand? Here's the message. Just ask him one thing. Tell him, if a house is on fire, what is the first duty of the house master? His first duty is that if there are domestic animals, they must be released. We once were staying in a house, and under us, in the same house, but under us there were cows staying. It was a very, very wonderful house. It's called Hari's Chalet, this house. Chalet is French, it means house. Hari's Chalet. So there were the cows and the calves staying, moo moo, and there were so on. So when the house is on fire, what is the first duty of the house master when there are domestic animals? His first duty is they must be released. You know, the pain of the animals, banging against the walls. You know, the fire is there, hurting themselves. It's too much for any sensitive person. You must rush down, open the door. You may be burned to ashes, but let these poor animals, these innocent animals, not be burned. Now, my body, says Radharani, is like a house, which is now on fire. You may ask, who has set fire to my house? It's that Krishna who has set fire on the house. Tell him, O crow, tell him, my life is like a domestic animal, a prana pashu, but it cannot get out. And why not? The door is locked. This animal cannot get out because there's a strong bolt on the door. bolt means which closes the door. So let Krishna come and unbolt it. You know what is this bolt? It's like, you know, goes like this. Here's the door. Now we close it. And then there is an iron thing which goes in another iron thing. And then to close it, you have to put a bolt here. And then the door doesn't open again. You know? Bolt, how would we say this? What? A klin. It almost sounds like the syllable klim. Yes, kling, a kling. So, what is this kling? It is actually that it's a hope. When Krishna left Vrindavan, he gave this hope. I'm just coming, he said. I will return. Don't worry, don't cry. I will return. I just have to kill, do my message, kill a few demons, you know. This, after all, I have appeared for this. I must now leave you and do my mission to set up Dharma again for the world. And it's this hope. So Radharani cannot flee. She cannot die because there's this hope. Krishna will return. And therefore, when Krishna doesn't find her in Vrindavan, then what will Krishna do? How can he be without Radharani? So therefore, this hope that he returns keeps Radharani from dying, keeps the animal from going. So this is Radharani's mood. How was this mood? And this is our last verse expressed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There's a very, very nice verses in Chaitanya Charitamrita. They are again very deep. Kahan mora prananata murali vadana kahan koron kahan pan Brajendra Nandana Kahare Kahiba Keba Jane Mora Duka Brajendra Nandana Vino Pate Mora Buka. See, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to express his mind in this way. Where is the Lord of my life who is playing his flute? What shall I do now? Where shall I go to find the son of Maharaj Nanda? This is the feeling of Radharani experienced by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. To whom should I speak? Who can understand my disappointment? Without the son of Nanda Maharaj, my heart is broken. Many other verses which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke in this delirium of love. And it is this special feature, this love which searches so much for God, for Krishna, which you need to go back to the kingdom of God. Only if you have this in your heart, you will go. You know that there's one price to pay. You must pay in coins of eagerness. That is how you will go. It's not when you say, "Oh, Krishna, God. It's nice as long as I have my prasadam." Yes. Sachinanda Swami, it's nice to sometimes hear this inter-theological description of our thing, but I'm a new devotee. There are so many things I have to do, finish my university, get my titles, and after some time, when I'm old and I'm still around, I will look at this again. This is, we must see, this is God consciousness. This is really the treasure of all the religions of the world, but it is best expressed and detailed expressed, the secret of the spiritual adventure or the spiritual journey in Chaitanya Bhakti. Because, see, here God personally comes and shows us how to do everything. We spoke about this yesterday when the teacher finds out, they don't know the ABC. I've talked about it, but I must now give the example and write A, B, C, and so on. This is how you do it. This is how Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teaches us that type of this love which brings Krishna under control. When Krishna sees this type of love appearing, he recognizes it has a taste of my Radharani. It has the taste of the love of Radharani. This is this devotee is very good. Yes, you please come quickly. We know Krishna's heart is impressed by Radharani, so we follow her method. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought this method, or this way. Hare Krishna. So this is the first part. This evening we will continue. I wanted to do something else, but it's not yet finished. It's only one more lecture, then it's there. The question really is, how can we enter into this school of love? No vow is demanded. We must have a school of love. But Gaur Govinda Maharaj said, I have opened a school. He said it's the crying school, where you learn your eagerness for Krishna. And please don't think, these are too deep things. No, I want to just jump around like a little child. You will do. This love is not what it is in the material world. It's not something, separation. Who wants separation, you know? It's very good. It has a very best taste. It, you feel Krishna's present. Already. It's not like material separation where you just feel too much absent. So too much, no chance. Hare Krishna. Good. Do you have any questions regarding this subject? Govinda Nandan has a question. Madhavananda has a question. And our Prabhu has a good, your good name? Onmari Prabhu. Yes. Yes. Attention. It's Krishna conscious. That's very good. Thank you very much. I would like to repeat the question again for the recording. Govindanandan asked that he has one consideration. The practical experience shows that devotees who can sometimes feel not Krishna consciousness by feeling this separation. They feel very sad and even get mental and doubtful. Oh, Krishna doesn't care for me. Spiritual master doesn't give me enough attention and all this. And yes, it is. It is like this. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur writes in one purport about it, about this idea that someone who has the material type of despondency, when he feels he cannot get what he wants, he is a person who is dominated by the idea of his own satisfaction, sense gratification, or selfish. He has selfish concerns, but so then he will become angry. Why has Krishna not appeared to me? Oh, I am already 2.5 years doing everything and more. Why not? This is how one can feel, and I recently talked to a devotee who said, is it good to become angry at Krishna when he doesn't appear? Like sometimes we hear great, great devotees express, Krishna, you did not appear, and you didn't do this, and they become Krishna is never an object of our sense gratification. I have a CD which I use in one seminar. It goes like this. I am missing you, Govinda, Disite. No, DC. DC. Where are you? Please come right before me. I want to see you dance before my eyes. If you want, we can play it this evening. It was innocently produced. It's by Ravi Shankar and friends who are, who are in contact with Krishna consciousness. It's not, but the mood expressed is we Vaishnavas know that this is a dangerous mood. It was innocent. It didn't, it's a nice production. They didn't mean it like that, but this is what they said. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya, in his verses which he wrote down for us conditioned souls, he expressed this, the opposite. Ashlishyava pararatam pinashtuman. You can do what you wish with me. You are my Lord always. I don't get another Lord. Always my Lord. Yeah. Govinda Nandan has pointed at a very important point. But I don't want to talk now so intensely about it, because then you will not come to my evening lecture. It's in the evening lecture where I talk about how to practically apply it on our stage, because that's very important. But I wanted to first of all give you an insight into Mahaprabhu. It is very important to understand him. And to understand these deep things, otherwise we will not be so inclined to go deeper in our Krishna conscious endeavor journey. There was another question, Madhavananda. Madhavananda says, I would explain to you a meditation of Lord Nityananda. Maybe at that time, brother sleep has come to you. I read it, but you're very often in lectures, I notice you are drifting off. I read it. You wanted to ask why it is... I cannot acoustically hear you. Yes? Uh-huh. I explained all this. You were absent-minded. Listen to the tape. I wrote a verse where it says that where Lord Chaitanya says, whoever worships Lord Nityananda with faith and devotion also worships me. The lotus feet of Lord Nityananda are worshipped by Brahma, Shiva. Therefore, you should all worship him with love. And Vrindavanadas Thakur says, oh brother Madhavananda, just worship Nityananda Prabhu, by whose mercy one attains Gaurachandra, because you reach Chaitanya Mahaprabhu primarily through the mercy of Nityananda. That's the channel. I think it answered the question. Why Lord Nityananda is in a special position? Because, well, he is just very, very dear to Lord Nitya, to Lord Chaitanya. And he's the Balaram. And he is also, you could say, I also said this Guru Tattva, the spirit of, we come to the Lord through the help of a dear devotee of him, he takes care of it. It's like the road, so to say. Please think about it. You need to meditate a little bit about this. Listen to the tape and do the meditation. Then it will reveal in your heart. Then there was another Unmada. Unmadi. This is a very, very, very ecstatic name. It means someone who's totally mad isn't it? Mad and ecstatic love of Godhead. Unmada is a note. Adverb, I see. Yeah, unmadi is maybe an yes, adverb. Yes. Yes. So please speak.
Probably an answer for my question. Prabhu's case, the only view that I did not, but I would try to excuse myself pointing. I am quite satisfied with this how but this need for more it's complete and then another that attitude of soul can be in my case cause for not complete surrender.
Yeah. Very nice.
Other obstacles are not knowing who is these ones. we have this.
Mm-hmm.
I shall be so humble and say that I have nothing to give to the Lord. I have. But I cannot see what is that. If it is so, my real condition, I have something to give to the Lord. I don't know who I am. I started this process, some fantasies in the head, but little by little, I'm this enthusiasm is not the one. This fighting spirit, that is the one. But then I realize that there is a planet, which is
that. I think I understand your question very well, that if you want, I can give a summary to the question and see, because it is a long question, yeah. I know your Urmadi. I would like to summarize your. Have you pronounced your question? Not, I have understood your question. Have you understood your question? To Krishna as service in the sense, yeah. Yes, Umadi.
Mm.
That can be a question, yeah.
Otherwise, what else?
Krishna, yeah. Umadi has said something very deep and very nice. I would really like to come to your core of, you have been so kind to put. See, sometimes when we hear the greatness of Krishna consciousness or the greatness of these feelings of separation, for instance, we think it may be too great for my little container. You gave the example of the tsunami. I mean, water is all right for bathing. The waves are very good. But if it's coming with so much force and so much water, then will it? We know it destroyed houses and lives and so on. So we sometimes feel doubtful if we really wish this. This doubt, or if we can handle it even, this doubt can keep us from going further and going into the area of full surrender. Unmari, you have expressed it very, very nice. I understood immediately because I have thought very deeply about this question. Do I want to go that far? That is a question. I think we all, at times in our lives, have asked this question. Do I want to go that far? Now, please allow me to answer this question. I will although this question is a question which we asked also on the emotional platform, like you were talking about your own life, and it was coming and flowing. But please allow me to answer this question on the philosoph on a not on an emotional platform. My language will not be exactly palatable in the beginning. I want to say, my dear devotees, this question, do I even want to go that far, is a question which is asked from the platform of ignorance of spiritual experiences in Krishna consciousness. We measure, or when we hear these descriptions, we immediately compare them with our experiences in the world. I have learned this, and that's why I'm so strong on this. I must admit to you, I have one private hobby. It's psychology. I wanted to find a psychological explanation of ecstasy in my life. And what I found up till very recently is that ecstasy is considered to be a disease like schizophrenia. There is no scientific treatment of ecstasy. First of all, they do not really know. They may know some, you know, they don't know any people, they have not investigated any people with ecstasies. And from their descriptions, all they know is these maybe sickly things where people get into some voodoo ecstasy or some wild crazy stuff, which is a derangement of the nervous system. Only very recently, scientists have started to investigate the religious phenomena in, you know, world religions, and they found out that, oops, our science has no measurement, cannot measure these things. We have to expand it, and there are some, but they are more like, you know, Rupert Sheldrake in physics, New Age scientists, you know. They are accepted, but yes, also by some universities, but by some not. It's very new, this field. But up to recently, I just read one doctor work on this, and I was really hurt when I saw this amount of ignorance. It was only one scientist who had done work and who said it's something different than schizophrenia or some other things. It's almost as disappointing as hearing some scientists, really, up to very recently, they said if you want to explain love chemically, you must say it's a defunction of the human organism. It is not healthy chemically. Everything goes topsy-turvy. How can they say such a... Yes, but do you want to understand love chemically, or do you want to understand it humanly? Where's your brains to even say such a foolish thing? So if we sometimes feel, oh, we are afraid of ecstasy, we are afraid of surrender, it shows that we don't really know what it is. Once Prabhupada was asked, what is the result of chanting? And you know his answer? He said, when you chant properly, more chanting will come. You like it so much. Now, a person who has not experienced the taste of the holy name will think 16 rounds is an... I mean, how will you do it? I met very nice people who later became devotees, who said, it's not possible to chant 16 rounds from the vocal cords. And they had explanation, scientific explanation, how the vocal cords, one opera singer was saying this to me. It's not problem. I said, I'm chanting it. It's no problem at all. Krishna Jivani is a singer, and she most probably you can't imagine how someone can think like this, but yeah, are you heard of? Yes, yeah. So chanting brings more chanting. This is a challenge to the to the doctor. No, what it means is you get so much taste that you like it. Now we may feel 16 rounds. Oh, my day is so busy. I'm so unconcentrated. You know, how will I chant 64 rounds? It's the ultimate torture, someone thinks. I do remember when I chanted my first 64 rounds. It was in Vrindavan, and I thought, now I will be super spiritual. I will follow Nirjal Ekadasi. So I didn't drink anything. I went to Sanatan Goswami's Bhajan Kuti in the midday heat. I had 32 rounds to be left. I was totally dehydrated because of my foolish concept of what is best for chanting. You know, the greatest, I will perform the greatest austerity, I thought. And then I remember when I crossed 45 rounds or so, I was only, you know, oh, I hope this goes over soon, you know. Oh. And then the next one came. Oh, sorry, I have to see this. You know, if I do this now with this, then I will lose how many rounds. So I was, and I must tell you, on Mardi, it was a torture, but it was not because of chanting. It was because I was dehydrated. I needed rest, most probably, something to eat. There is Krishna Das Babaji. You know, he was once asked when he ate on Ekadasi a good meal in the night. He started, he had done preaching all night, all day, and then he said at 7 o'clock, he said, we will celebrate Ekadasi by chanting all night japa. Let me first eat something. And then he ate something. Now, usually on Ekadasi in the night, you try to eat less on Ekadasi. And the devotees asked him, Babaji Maharaj, you're eating something? And he laughed, yeah, on Ekadasi I fill my belly 3 times because I want to chant. The idea is not fasting, or not eating food. The idea is to be Krishna conscious. Now, for most of us, it's best if we restrict our eating. Then we can be, but here is a real great soul, you know. He does everything which is favorable for the practice of chanting. So anyways, what I want to say is, someone who, I made the mistake, I chanted wrongly. I just tortured my body and my mind because I had this crazy understanding that chanting is an austerity. It's not. Chanting is a devotional service to Krishna. It's the greatest pleasure for the soul. And when you chant properly, you don't want to stop after 64 rounds. You feel this is as pleasant as, I mean, there's no comparison. It's the best. This is when you have the experience of chanting. When you have not the experience of chanting like I had, then you have some wrong conception and you feel it's not possible. Therefore, we do the japa retreat here in Croatia. We want to give a taste to the devotees. Now it's 10 o'clock and I wanted to end at 8:30. It was not possible. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sisi Gaur Nitai ki jai, Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol.